And we are live on Discovery Paranormal, looking for that Sasquatch, looking for them bones, looking for those ghosts, looking for the UFO, or whatever the hell they call them now. Stuff flying around, flying around. You know what? Everybody's looking for something. People searching, searching, searching. On this show, we like to help you connect with those things. And if you have any fears or reservations about life and whatever about the paranormal, all you got to do is tune in to United Public Radio Network. There's probably a show on here for anything that you're thinking of, man, you know. And we're going to start looking for that Sasquatch. I actually want to host a Sasquatch hunt, because I'm a firm believer you're not going to just be able to catch the deer. You're going to have to hunt them down, you know what I mean? And they're gonna want to, you know, dissect it anyway, the science and whatever, so you may as well. But look for that on United Public Radio Network. We got the Sasquatch hunt, have a big dollar prize for something like that. But aside from that type of thing and my bloodlust of going out and getting a hold of some Sasquatch, and I don't shoot animals, by the way. Sasquatch different. Sasquatch is different. Although if I saw a chupacabra, I might have to wound that sucker. Wound it. Bring it in. So look at chupacabra. Blah. People are like, oh my God. Oh my God. A chupacabra. Oh. Anyway, tonight we're not talking about any of that. Tonight we're talking about curses. Kusha. Kusha. Cursing people, being cursed, family cursed, cursed, or just generally cursing in your nice language there. I think that people are cursed. I think there are people that think that they're cursed, or, you know, maybe it's not even them. Maybe it's their family. Maybe somebody in their family got cursed years and years earlier, and you don't even know. You don't even know. Someone pissed off somebody. And then they put a little whopper of a curse on your family tree. All of a sudden, that's why your life is messed up. So, yeah, we can talk about curses. We can talk about cursing people. But first, I want to talk about, are you really cursed? You know, I mean, like, because, you know, sometimes people just have crappy luck. And in that kind of world, you know, it's unfortunate, but you can turn your life around, right? You can do stuff. You know, you have choices available, basically. So are you really cursed? Now, you really want to have this, you know, there's no Harry Potter, wizarding, dark arts, protecting yourself, all that. You know, they're actors. It's movies. It's movies is magic. You know, I was watching a Harry Potter marathon of my own design, and I think, like, you know what, like, they have, I was watching the fourth one, actually, and I was thinking, like, you know, you got these other wizarding academies from other places, Bulgaria, you know what I mean, Bulgaria representing, and they had the French girls, the ball sack people, whatever. But you notice that's so bogus, because first of all, if there was any of that stuff and you had all these witches around, whatever, it wouldn't be Bulgaria and England and France. It would be the whole world. And you mean tell me there'd be no wizarding academies from the United States? Come on. The Brooklyn Academy of Wizardry, man. Come on. Brooklyn style. The Bafango, that wand. I turned you into a cannoli and I ate you, you sucker. Ba-ba! Or, you know, like Beverly Hills Wizarding. The Beverly Hills witches and bitches of Beverly Hills, man. You know what I mean? So that's what I want. You could have some Florida swamp rats. You know, like saying people got to go on Jerry Springer's type of thing. And I don't know. Whatever. That's what's going through my mind as I'm watching this. Like, how come we're not represented? How come? You know, England, a lot of people in England don't like Americans, and as true to other countries, they are jealous. They're jealous because we have stuff that they don't have. They don't have anything that we want. So I really is what it is when I think about that. And we have a huge audience, man, in England and all around, you know. And I love you guys, but we don't want anything that you have. You know what I mean? England has terrible food, right? Your scotch, that's beautiful right there, man. You know what I mean? Can't forget about scotch right there, right? And then I don't know what else you have. Candy is all right. You know, it's nice chocolate and stuff, man. But, and American chocolate's been, you know, the problem with American food is from large manufacturers, they put terrible, cheap, horrible ingredients in it. So, like, you know, it's even hard to find people that actually use real sugar in these things. They want to use corn syrup or these other types of manufactured sweeteners, you know, that, whatever, man. So it takes away. It really does take away from the flavor, the texture, the whole bit. So, but England, right? School of Wizardry, Hogwarts, really? And what a horrible name. You know what I mean? Hogwarts. You know, get the wart out of it. I don't like hogs or warts or Hogwarts. I call it the School of Wizardry. That's what I call it. The big BFC. The big fucking castle. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so are you cursed? Is there someone in your life that you've angered or offended in some way? Now, see, you know, I'm going to answer yes to that one right there. I think probably yes in the daily. Is that person someone who has magical knowledge to place a harmful spell on you? I would say yes. Absolutely. And is a hex or curse the only possible explanation for what's happening to you? See, that's what it is. You have to kind of sort it out, you know. So, but if the answer is yes to those questions, it's possible that you have been cursed or hexed. And in that case, you may need to take protective measures. Now, you don't have to go to some person and pay them and do all that. There's a lot of charlatans, shenanigans. Whatever, man. You don't have to do that, right? You can protect yourself. This isn't just curses. This is about keeping negative energy away from you. You know, so whether you're cursed or not, really, it's about keeping that stuff out of your life, you know, or at least to a bare minimum. So you yourself can get on there and you know, just live your life. So anyway. Now, you don't want to get all technical. You know, there are people, I have friends who are Wiccans, and they really love to get into their herbs and stuff, and flowers, and nice, cool candles and whatever. Really cool stuff, man, right? I mean, it's if you're going to celebrate some kind of religion, that's at least the most fun, where you're dancing, making music, having a good time. The other stuff, very, very mundane, dogmatic, and they want to, like, you know, label you the sinner so you can give them your bucks. Give them your bucks. But you're giving bucks to the worst sinners that you'll even imagine. So, all right. But how can you break a curse? Let's see your curse, man. And I'm going to liken this to also negativity. Magic mirrors. And I always used to say all the time, when someone's being a certain way with me that I'm not feeling good about, I throw up a mirror just of them and just let them have their own BS, right? So, but think about it, like, you know, when you were a kid, you know, and you learned, hey, I can reflect sunlight at people, you know, and you're sitting there, you're reflecting sunlight in your friend's eyes, they're getting all mad at you, you know. So a magic mirror works on the principle of anything get reflected in it. You know, in a lot of different religions and a lot of different practices, spiritual practices, even in Taoism, you have, you know, scrying mirrors and things like that, mirrors, that type of, you know, energy. Usually it's gold and it reflects that light, you know. So, but there's several methods of creating a magic mirror. And we know the mirror on the wall type of thing. The first and simplest is to use a single mirror First, you have to consecrate the mirror, as you would any of your magical tools. You know, a lot of people in Wicca will tell you that you would use like some kind of myrrh oil and that type of thing, and candle magic, whatever you want. If you want to just kind of do it, blessing other religions, you do the blessings of God and all that, right? To do whatever for before and after. In Iran, they chant death to America, you know, death to Americans, you know. So whatever your bag is, that's what they do to clean things for their magical tools. And so you place the mirror standing up in a bowl of black salt. That's right, black salt, which is used in many hoodoo traditions to provide protection against and repel negativity. And salt, you know, salt in general. It's nice to have that ring of salt. There are people that will put a ring of salt around their homes, keeping out the negativity, as long as there's no negativity in there, as long as there's nothing lurking around inside that you're keeping things in. So now in the bowl facing the mirror, place something that represents your target, the person who is cursing you. And you have to kind of know, you know, it's one thing if you don't know, and then you really can't, like, say, okay, you know, you're just blaming somebody for something that you think that they cursed you, right? Or they're throwing negativity your way. But anybody you want to repel, let's say repel, you can have a photo, business card, you know, whatever. You can make a little doll, a little voodoo doll of them, yeah? You have any kind of personal effects, you know, anything like that, you would put on there and kind of, you know, you think about that, you think about that person. So, and that reflects that individual's negative energy back to them, right? So, and, you know, it depends on how deep you want to go with these types of things. But this is more also a good mental technique just to keep the negative thoughts away. And, you know, like in neurological linguistic programming, you would take people's negative vibes and, you know, you're hearing it, you're seeing it in your head. You could take it like it's on a television screen, you know, and then start adding some snow and obscure the sound, you know, shrink it down to where it's real small and practically insignificant, and take some other good memory, something powerful, full of love or happiness or laughter or whatever, and then you blow that up and you make that the dominant image and the dominant scene, and then that pushes the other out. That's very good. Very visualization, very important, you know. So, but in other magic traditions, you know, they make like a mirror box, right? Using shards of a mirror that you've smashed with a hammer while chanting the person's name. This is a good method, and it's smashing anything with a hammer is pretty therapeutic. So don't get that. wear your safety glasses. Don't do it around pets. Smashing things is good. Smashing things is fun. I used to go to a lot of garage sales looking for antiques and that type of stuff. And sometimes I buy a box of plates just to go smash. You know, some $3 box, man. That's going. Oh, it feels so good. Protective, how about a protective decoy doll? It's like a voodoo doll, but it's your own design, right? So a lot of people use what they call poppets or magic dolls in spell work as a tool of offense, you know, going after people, voodoo doll, that type of thing. And they work. It depends what you put into, but oh, man. So you can create a poppet to represent people you'd like to heal or bring good fortune to, help find a job or help protect. But the poppet can also be used as a defensive tool, right? So, you create the little doll to represent yourself. Last one I used, found at the dollar store. As a matter of fact, they sell voodoo dolls at the dollar store. So, yeah, of course. Of course they sell voodoo dolls. You know, where do you go when you're low on the buck and you still have to get that magic out, man? You go to the dollar store. That's right. You can get your voodoo doll, get your candle, get, you know, one of those little bags of cotton candy, all for a few bucks. under $5, you're walking out the door with a soda too. It's not going to be an 8 ounce. It'll be like one of those obscure size, you know, 3.5 ounce soda. It looked bigger. Look bigger in the thing there, man. All right, so you can create the pop and represent yourself, of course, and this is actually pretty simple because it acts as a decoy. I'll tell you, you know, decoy stuff though. You don't want that getting into somebody else's hands that would misuse it though. You know what I mean? Like the dog. The dog will run off when you start chewing its head. You'll start getting headaches. Let's see. Now you gotta see what the deal is though after you put together your poppet and you know using something of your own hair or something like that, you put that in there, you know, all kinds of make it look like you, of course, that type of thing. And you say, I have made you and your name is blah, 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 blah. You shall receive the negative energy sent by blah 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 blah. In my place. So it's like a little shield for you. You place the poppet somewhere out of the way, so once you believe the curse's effect are no longer affecting you, you get rid of it. The best way to get rid of it, you take it someplace far from your home and dispose of it. Take it to a graveyard and leave it there. And that poppet will grow and flourish. Yes. Author Denise Alvarado recommends using a poppet to represent the person who has cast a curse against you. She said, place the poppet in a box and bury it under a thin layer of soil. Directly above where you buried the poppet, light a bonfire and chant your wish that the curse against you will be consumed along with the flames that burn the poppet. Why? And see that? That's pretty involved to block somebody's negativity. But if you let somebody know that you got like a voodoo doll, that's the thing, right? More than just making it happen, you let them know. You send them a picture, you know, a little picture of that sucker. So I got this. I'll stick pins in your balls, sucker, whatever you got. You could do all kinds of little stuff with that thing. Now that to me is letting you know that you're off the tilt of the world. So and a lot of people think like, you know, folk magic, binding spells, talesmen, things like that. All of those things, you know, things that, you know, talesmen, little amulets people wear around their necks, jewelry, you know what I mean? Let's see, you could take a purifying bath that includes a blend of hyssop, rue, salt, and other protective herbs. You know, a little Italian seasoning, a little rosemary, a little garlic. And then you tenderize yourself a little bit. Serve yourself up with some pasta on the side, man, maybe some angel hair. Let's see, in some forms of root work, an uncrossing spell performed and often involves the, people saying, reciting the 37th Psalm. If you don't feel comfortable saying a psalm during spell work, you can burn uncrossing incense, which is typically a blend of rue, hyssop, salt, sage, and frankincense. See, now, I like to think anything that you like, anything that promotes positivity, not the negativity you're trying to get rid of. You want to promote the positivity. So, I mean, when it really comes down to herbs and that type of stuff, I think you do what feels right and you don't do what feels wrong, you know? So, let's see, creating a spell-breaking talisman or amulet. This can be an existing item that you consecrate and charge and ritually assign the task of repelling the curse, or it can be a piece of jewelry that you create specifically for this purpose. A good way also is mailing a dead fish to the person and letting them know, I know what you did, and you're not getting away with it. So here's this dead fish. Yeah, that's always nice. It's always reach out and touch someone time. That type of thing. So, but whatever the method you choose to dispel is, it's important that you do it with love. And it's important that you don't get involved in negative things. You know, some people, they get sucked into things and, you know, they want to be okay. I'm going to put a curse on you, man. Put a curse on you because you pissed me off for whatever stupid reason. Sometimes it's easier to just go and punch somebody in the nose than getting all this cursing stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of passive aggressive people out there. So you ask me, then, all right, that's how you keep the stuff away. It's just a couple methods of keeping the negativity away, the spells away, or taking that stuff and letting it die out, you know. Best one I ever heard was the black candle one of taking a black candle and taking a pin. And then, well, first you have to, like, anoint it with myrrh oil, the whole thing, right? Then you take the pin and you write on the candle what you want to accomplish. And then you have a pot or a cauldron, and then you burn the candle down to the water's level as the candle goes out. You take the whole thing, pour the water out with the candle in a hole, and bury it, you know, bury the cauldron, of course, in the pot. And then that's supposed to end it right there, you know. That's supposed to send that message. So, but maybe that's too complicated for you. Maybe you're a busy person and you want, you know, I've got no time, I've got to run, got to get the kids from school and whatever, and, you know, and then I got to get rid of this curse. You know what I mean? Got to go to the store, get some food for tonight, got to get rid of this curse. So what if you're on the run? You know, I'm going to tell you how to, and then casting spells is a good way to get rid of spells. But then, you know, it's Pandora's box. I think once you start getting into that stuff, it grows. It grows. Not like giving that money to that collection plate, right? So, candle magic. Black candles are the most common for hexing someone because they're typically used to banish negativity or to bounce it back on somebody else. But you can also swap black for white. White represents purity. Pink, love and compassion. Green, healing. Green is also bucks. You want the bucks, man, the big bucks. You write on that green candle, get my big bucks, Powerball. See what happens, man. But you want to direct your energy. And I think that's the whole purpose of everything here is about directing energy. You know, if you need these things to do it, there are people that don't, that can just kind of use their pineal gland, use their telepathic and telekinesis and send the negativity or message that way, or dispel it, depending on who you are, right? But you take the candle, you take a photo of the person you're hexing, which is optional. You don't have to have a photo. But so many people have photos these days. Very easy to find selfies of someone. You see? You take those selfies every day. Someone's going to use that to hex you, man. So let's see. In the 2016 mass hex, I think that was when they went after Trumpy there, many participants used a photo and channeled their energy towards a variety of outcomes. Impotence being one of them. There you go. Impotence. Everybody always goes for the dick. I mean, what's up with that? Yeah. What's up with that? Ugh. Leave the penis out of it. Angry witches. But let's see. But a hex can be used for good, like sending healing vibes for the penis. It can also, you know, feel like people stand up for themselves if they're a survivor of something and whatever. So black strings, the black strings and photos used for binding spell, essentially encasing a person in your spell. So that you take the picture and you wrap it up. It doesn't have to be a black string either. It could be a rope, any of that stuff. You wrap them up, you know, and you say your little ditties of what you want to get off your chest. And you can write down what you want to say. You can be verbal about it and whatever. So, and it could be whatever you want. You can make it, you know, as long, but you know what? It depends on how people get, you know, how much you like to write things out. And you don't want to get overcomplicated. The problem with the goddamn universe is overcomplication. When people, the universe is not overly complicated. People are overly complicated when they try to figure out the universe. So, all right. So you pick a spot that's quiet and free from your distractions, right? You carve the name of the person in your candle. You light the candle. You wrap the string around the rolled up photo of the person you're hexing. And you recite your spell at least three times. Three is very big in the that type of world. So that's one kind of direction you can go if you're trying to shake somebody off. And I've shaken people off, let me tell you, man. And sometimes just in traffic, somebody will give you that evil eye. You'd be like, don't you give me that evil eye. You know what I mean? How dare you give me the evil eye. Some people spit like, pooey, spit in your path. That's a big one. These are the ones that were quick and easy back in the day. The ones your old grandma probably used to do because they don't have any time for anything. So you give someone the evil eye. They could do that out the window of the house, you know, somebody walking past, give them the evil eye or the neighbor, right? Like and spitting, spit in your driveway. So stuff like that. But if you get, so let's say one of those things happens to you, right? Someone spits in your driveway, right? Or they spit on you. What can you do? Hey, man, you can take a salt bath. Salt bath is beneficial to you. You kind of wipe yourself down, a little bit of sea salt, baking soda. It says you stir 1 cup of sea salt and 1/4 cup of baking soda into a hot bath. Run the bath as comfortable for you, and then you pour the sea salt and baking soda into the water to act as purifiers, and then use your hand to stir the water counterclockwise until the salt and baking soda dissolve. You don't want to be exact. Doesn't you don't need to be exact with salt and baking soda, but it's good to be sort of in that realm, right? Use Epsom salt, sea salt, or Himalayan salt, not table salt, of course. You know, sea salt is great, Epsom salt great. It's actually good for your skin to do that. So, and if you like, put a little bit of essential oil in there, a little lavender, some mint, you know, a little tree tea, a sandalwood, something like that. Come out smelling like a rose-ish. All right, number two, you visualize positive energy flowing into your bath. After you finish your spell or your prayer, or whatever you do, you imagine that white light of positive energy is filling the water. Then imagine that the light is covering you all around. Boom. Inside, outside, everywhere. Cleansing you, cleansing that, everything around you. You recite a spell or a prayer before you get into the water. You close your eyes, you hold your hands in your little prayer pose. And then you say your purification spell. And like salt and water. Let me do this right. Salt and water, make me pure. Bring me now the perfect cure. Let this water make me free. As I will, so mote it be. How's that? All right, so whatever. You can do that. Number four, soak for at least 30 to 40 minutes. That's a long time. I'd have a hard time with that. I'm a quickie. You gotta get in, get out. You know? I don't know about that 30, 40 minute thing. But you soak in the water 30, 40 minutes, however long you can handle it, and give the water time to cleanse you. Get into your bath and sink beneath. 30, 40 minutes, the water go cold after that, you know? Close your eyes and relax for 30 and 40 minutes. during this time. I don't know where 30, 40 minutes comes from. I think just whatever. And then you can recite your spell again. Smudging your energy. You can do that. You can, you know, make a little smudge wand. And, you know, basically you want to, you know, people like to smudge all kinds of stuff. But basically you get sage, white sage and that type of thing. And then you have a feather that you want to waft the smoke over to you. You got to be careful with feathers, too, especially picking them up outside. And feathers, all different color feathers have a different reason. So, you know, you might want to look into that. But you want to work it all around, work it up and down, get that feather. And then, again, you want to recite the prayer. Here's one for you. You say, earth, fire, water, and air be the answer to my prayer. Banish this curse and leave me pure. Tonight I claim a blessed cure. So, yeah, that's it. Let's see. Casting a simple candle spell. See, and I already told you what to do, but the water, the bowl, or whatever you got, you let it burn down or whatever. And, of course, the different colors of candles have to do with, like I said, green is good for good fortune and money and that type of thing. And then you want to put a little, you know, we get a little bit of salt in that water. Salt is a conductor, right? Electricity, whatever you want to move something around. It's also an emulsifier, you know, so put the salt into the water. Visualize the white light flowing into the water. You stare at that bowl. I do that. You can make soup also. I don't know what kind of candles you use. Take the candle out of there. Make a little bit of soup after you're done. You know what I mean? Oh, here we go. Here's another incantation for you. So you put the salt in the water. You say a little prayer. Earth, fire, water, and air be the answer to my prayer. I don't want to repeat it. And then, let's see, you let it burn down. And let's see, it goes down. Reaches the water at that point. You extinguish fire. Your spell is almost complete. In pagan traditions, of course, the motorcycle gang, the pagans, you know, it's believed that letting a candle go out on its own strengthens the spell and keeps the magic in place. And then, of course, you bury it outside. You bury it. You don't want anybody watching you either. Kind of messes things up. So, plus, I'm going to see what the hell you burying. Hell, you burying on my property. Make sure it's your own property. I go to my neighbor's lawn, bury it. For a front lawn. Neighbors burying a candle in the lawn again. Weird bastard. Let's see. Then the making a magic mirror box. We talked about that before. About the... Ooh. All right, more voodoo dolls and that type of stuff and whatever. All right, anyway, enough of this. So that teaches you how to reverse things and whatever. And let's talk about, I think we talked about how to put a curse on somebody, you know? And of course, you know what? You don't really, like, it's not really good for you to do that, you know? If you want to just keep them away, that's the best. Keep the negativity away. Send it back to them tenfold, whatever you got to do. Keep the negativity away. When you reach out and touch someone in that way, you can damage yourself and bring all kinds of negativity to your life that you didn't count on. And once you start, you can't stop. Yes, potato chips, man. Magical potato chips. So be aware of the possible outcomes, you know? And I don't know. I like the more direct approach, right? I mentioned before, like, you know, sending a dead fish. It's very Italian. You know, whatever your message is, just don't hurt anything. I would get my fish from the supermarket. So best thing to do is consider forgiving people and moving on, or forgiving yourself, even if you don't want to dwell. You know, you want to, you know, someone made you feel bad or whatever they did to you. You know, a lot of it's like, just, you know, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend type stuff. People want to get even, which is ridiculous, you know? Really? Unless they really did something terrible to you, then you go for justice rather than sitting there dancing around doing these things, you know? So I'm going to talk about 10 famous curses, because people are like, you know, curses real. I mean, you got all these curses throughout history that people know about, Hope Diamond and things like that. But there's others. Those were the bigger known type of curses, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, let's start with James Dean and the curse of the little bastard, right? So it's September 30th, 1955, James Dean. Oh, I hate these stupid pop-ups. James Dean was killed when the silver Porsche 550 Spider, he called Little Bastard, was struck by an oncoming vehicle. Within a year of Dean's crash, the car was at least loosely involved in two more fatal accidents and two other injuries. The better confirmed series of incidents occurred after the hot rod designer George Barris, of course, everybody knows George Barris. He does, you know, Batman cars, all that other stuff. That dude, big customizer of vehicles. So while getting a tune-up, Little Bastard fell onto a mechanic's leg and broke his legs. Two doctors supposedly purchased the engine and transmission from the car, of whom one was killed and the other seriously injured in subsequent car accidents. Though it hasn't been confirmed that the deaths occurred in cars that contained Little Bastard parts, someone else had purchased the tires, which blew, simultaneously sending the driver to the hospital. So really, and all the people that bought those things, I got some parts from the USS Eldridge that you might want, as some Titanic, those pieces, you know. I mean, really. I gotta have it, you know. Who's that? Two doctors gotta have the engine and transmission of a car to kill the guy and kill other people too. Yeah. Oh my god, they have PhDs, right? That's why PhDs don't impress me. So okay, from there, reports get more muddled. Of course, time goes on. We know that Little Bastard's shell disappeared sometime before 1960 while on an exhibition circuit. According to some, a truck carrying it killed the driver. A truck carrying it crashed, killing the driver, and Little Bastard was gone by the time the authorities arrived on scene. By other accounts, it was merely stolen en route. Either way, perhaps. You imagine that thing still out there, like, killing people? Some Christine. You ever see that movie? And that car, like, fixes itself and comes to life. I'd love a car like that. Fix itself. You know? Always plays the little song when it does somebody in. The curse of Tutankhamun's tomb. This is always fun to talk about. In 1922, English explorer Howard Carter was leading an expedition funded by George Herbert, the 5th Earl of Carnarvon, when Carter discovered a tomb of ancient Egyptian King Tutankhamun. It was all the rage, I heard, man, and all the riches it held, you know, so they found all the good stuff. After opening the tomb, however, strange and unpleasant events began taking place in the lives of those involved in the expedition. Some believe that there was a foreboding inscription. Death comes on wings. Oh, come on, man.
Death comes on wings to he who enters the tomb of the Pharaoh.
So that's what it said on King Tut's tomb. That put a curse on anyone disturbed his final resting place. So one, number one with me, I don't want to breathe the air that's old, entombed air to begin with. You know, if I'm going to go to something like that, I've got to have some breathing apparatus that's separate than anything else that's going on there. Number two, you know, you don't know what's in there, bacteria, that type of stuff. Ugh, yeah, I don't like messing with anything. Even when meat smells a little weird, I throw it out. I don't mess with anything. No point in doing that. So Lord Carnarvon's story in particular is the most bizarre. The adventurous Earl came to Cairo and apparently died from pneumonia following complications from a mosquito bite. Oh, goddamn mosquitoes. Ugh, this year, too many. Allegedly, let's see, at the exact moment that Carnarvon passed away, all the lights in the city mysteriously went out in Cairo. And back in England, Carnarvon's dog fell over dead all at the same time. Probably because nobody was there feeding it. In addition, several other people involved with the expedition died too, including Carter's assistant, his assistant's father, and some of Carter's relatives. Carter, however, seemed to escape the curse himself. Maybe he's the one cursed. The curse of the Spider-Man. How about that? So it took 9 years of rehearsals to get the seemingly cursed Broadway musical Spider-Man. Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark off the ground. The play, Julie Taymor's reinterpretation of the comic book, superheroes bid to save New York City, was plagued by one day after another, despite an all-star cast and crew that included superstars like Bono and the Edge, both members. The hell are they doing in that? You go see some Spider-Man and Bono comes out, starts lecturing you about global warming. What the hell's Bono doing here? Then a big spider comes out and bites him. Like, yeah. Yeah. Woohoo. The trouble began when the show's budget began to blossom uncontrollably, racking up a record $65 million or more in expenses. And then in the musical's third year of rehearsing, producer Tony Adams died of a heart attack at the age of 52. There were also many injuries to the cast, a rehearsal of high-flying spider stunts, and that Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Anybody actually listen to U2? You guys listen to U2? Anybody out there? I think they're just out there because everybody thinks that other people listen to U2. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you too. So director Julie Taymor was fired and replaced by former Barnum & Bailey director Philip William McKinley. And then the show's opening day was pushed back at least five times. When the production did finally open in June of 2011, good luck seemed to prevail. During the final week of 2011, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark grossed a record-breaking $2.9 million. 2.9. They spent a lot more. And let's see. From just 9 performances, but the show closed in 2014, citing weak ticket sales. Whatever. So that's not so terrible. But I know that, you know what? I'm not going to say that that's paranormal. I'm not going to say that's cursed. I'm not going to say anything. It sounds like just bad writing, bad planning. And then Bono, you know what I mean? Do you need to say more? That guy's got to be a real boring twit to hang out with. Don't you just feel that about Bono? Like he's like the most boring dude. Just like, you know, ugh, what was going off? The AIDS babies. Always got something, dude. Can't you ever cheer up? Global warming. Bleh. Some people just need something to be upset about. That's all. Yeah, there's lots of stuff. Lots. Right on your own block where you live, too. You know what I mean? So, how about the 27 Club? If you're a rock star and you're 27 years old or about to turn 27, you might want to listen to this. So, you want to avoid the membership into the club. And this is, let's see. Take Robert Johnson, for example. Johnson, who Eric Clapton called the most important blues musician ever lived, played the guitar so well, and some said he must have had to deal with the devil. So when he died at 27, folks said that must have been time to pay up. That's how simple people are sometimes. Since Johnson, a host of musical geniuses have gone to early graves at 27. Brian Jones, founding member of the Rolling Stones, died at 27 in 1969. It was also Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Jim Morrison. He had the J names. Kurt Cobain joined the club in 1994, and so did Amy Winehouse in 2011. All 27 years old. Is it a coincidence? Is it just their fame and drugs, that type of thing, addiction, being depressed all the time, but whatever. People are depressed. When I was that age, we didn't have time to be depressed. We're too busy having fun to sit around talking about being depressed. All right. The curse of Gillette. How much time we got? A couple minutes. Gillette, the maker of shaving products like Gillette Fusion Power Razors. And let's see. And producer of such helpful internet videos about Gillette's guide to body shaving. May also be cursed, at least when it comes to its athletic promoters. So take its most recent ambassadors, Thierry Henry, Tiger Woods, and Roger Federer, for example. Each athlete's career may have been cut short by the razor's curse. In November 2009, soccer star Henry was accused of cheating during the World Cup finals. Same month. Also, they said he was very smooth. Cheating, very smooth. In November 2009, soccer star Henry was accused of... let's see. The same month, Woods' golf career lost momentum, and he had a knee injury, and then he crashed his car. He cheated on his girl. She went nuts with that club, his golf club, beat him up, then crashed his car. He had a messy divorce, a frenzy of confessions from his mistresses, plural. And then, let's see. And then he was, of course, to complete the curse in November 2009, an undefeated Federer was knocked from top spot to Tennis World's Tour by an underdog. Who cares? All right. That's not even any teeth in that one. The Billy Goat curse. Don't care. Get out of here in a minute. The curse of Turan. How's that? Hungry? Let's see. All started in. Don't care about that. Rasputin and the Romanovs. Rasputin, a self-proclaimed magician and cult leader, wormed his way into the palace of the Romanovs, Russia's ruling family around the turn of the last century. Yeah, maybe Vladimir Putin got a hold of some of Rasputin's little objects there, you know? I feel like Putin's a little possessed, got that going on. His stories kept Alexis calm and sedate. This was important to the royal family because Alexis had hemophilia, which could have caused him to bleed to death if he were injured. Rasputin's power, however, soon went to his head, and after a few of the Romanovs allegedly decided to have him killed. What are friends for, right? But let's see. Reportedly, it took poison, a fall down the staircase, repeated gunshots, and drowning before Rasputin was finally dead. Russians don't impress me because of their killing ability, man. You know, poison, staircase, gunshots, and they drowned the dude. It's like, what do you got to do? Is he dead yet? No. Yet. Push him down the stairs again. Dead yet? Yet. Push him. Poison him. Give him your mother's cooking. Yeah, that's good. That kills everybody. Oh, is he dead yet? Yet. We'll just bury him alive. Is he dead yet? I don't think so. So, oh, man. See what you get, Rasputin? Hanging out with Russians, man, trying to be all entertaining. It said that Rasputin mumbled a curse as he died, assuring Russia's ruling monarchs that they would all be dead themselves within a year. The Romanov family was brutally murdered in a mass execution less than a year later. There you go. There you go. Famous last words. Let's see. Okay. We're running out of time. Let's talk about the Kennedy family real quick. All right. Of course, let's see. JFK's brother, Joseph Jr., and his sisters, Kathleen, both died in separate plane crashes in 1944 and 1948. JFK, while serving as America's 35th president, was assassinated in 1963 at the age of 46. Robert Kennedy, JFK's younger brother, was assassinated in 1968. Senator Ted Kennedy, JFK's younger brother, survived the plane crash in 1964. In 1969, he was driving a car that went off the bridge, causing the death of his companion, Mary Jo Kopechne, who apparently was pregnant, and ended his presidential goals because of that. In 1984, Robert Kennedy's son, David, died of a drug overdose. Another son, Michael, died in a ski accident. And in 1999, JFK Jr. and his wife and sister-in-law died while doing cocaine when a small plane he was in crashed into the Long Island Sound. So is that cursed or is that just people messing around or whatever? I know cocaine's and flying airplanes probably don't mix. No, whatever, man. JFK, I think that probably a lot of that was the CIA. If you talk about JFK and all the stuff that he got involved with, Marilyn Monroe and all these other women that he slept with, and they all ended up dead. So, yeah, I mean, is all that, is that a curse or is that the curse of doing business that way? Because there's certain, you see, they didn't have to, did they? They didn't have to, but they did. Anyway, I'm going to end the show there, and I'm going to end the curse there. I'll say a prayer to all, a prayer to all. May the curses fall. I'll see you guys next week on Discovery Paranormal.